Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, broadcast and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. It's a tough time to be in the business of publishing newspapers and magazines, but there are some subject areas that thrive in hard times, like success. Because while the sky is falling all around some of us, others see the silver lining in clouds and the word opportunity written everywhere they look. To that end, I've invited Darren Hardy to be my guest on today's show. Hardy is the publisher of Success Magazine, a publication that shares with us the case histories of entrepreneurs that rise up above the fray and succeed against all odds. Darren, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you having me.
Oh, glad to have you here. Glad you can find the time to do this. So let's just start. I mean, how much harder is it to be a success story? And I mean success in capital letters, like the magazine, to be a success story in today's business world.
Well, I think as you said in your introduction, it actually is incredibly opportune times for success, a publication like Success Magazine, because, you know, through all the fear, worry, anxiety that the rest of media is pumping into the minds and heads of everybody, success sort of stands out like the singular beacon of hope and possibility. You know, instead of shining a spotlight on what's wrong with the world and what you can't do and where all the failures are and where all the negativity in our world exists, success is putting a spotlight on those that are achieving, what's right with the world, what you can do, how you can take control and how you can progress, and how, as you mentioned, you can even seek opportunity in times like this. So, you know, I think the unfortunate part of this market and economy is a fortunate part for success. The more unsuccessful America is, the better it is for Success Magazine. And the reason for that is when the tide is rising all boats and everybody's doing really well, nobody thinks that they need any help. They're not looking for additional answers or solutions. But, you know, with that tide having receded, people are looking around for where they can find answers, solutions, inspiration, new ideas, and ways to, take back some control and make some new decisions about what their future might be.
I mean, it kind of seems to me like it's an even greater achievement than ever to find yourself featured in a magazine like this right now when, you know, so many people are failing, that if you can be pointed out as a success, that, you know, what?
No question. I mean, yeah, because we purvey the landscape every day to find who are those that we're going to profile on the covers and in the feature sections within our publication. And many of the people that appeared on our list last year don't necessarily qualify this year, as some of their companies might have been derailed or might have been subject to the economy, and they didn't have the right leadership or had made the right decisions in place going into it, or not innovating and taking the bold steps forward that they need to in today's marketplace to continue to stay at the level of success that they were prior. So yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're getting on the cover or inside the pages of Success Magazine today in this marketplace, you are truly an extraordinary achiever.
And you know what? Let me. I was just going to give out our phone number, but it looks like we've already got somebody on the line. So let's go to the call. Heidi, you have a comment or question for Darren Hardy, publisher of Success? Hello. 1, 2, 3. You're gone. Okay. Sorry, Darren. Are there that many people that you could point to from a year ago that would not get into the magazine right now?
Yeah, because we have one section of our publication called The Corner Office, and this is where we feature a well-known CEO of either a company that is a household name or themselves is a household name, and we look for insights on areas of leadership or team development or strategy. And you know, a lot of those companies that that would have been on the list before, those companies are in trouble. There's evidence that that they're not doing today as they would have been heralded a year or two ago. So, you know, I think this is I love markets and economies like this. I know that sounds a little demented, but it really I say separates the strong from the herd. You know, this is when you really get to see whether companies and leaders and people themselves have real resolve and real depth of character and real depth of leadership. One of the big problems I see happening in boardrooms across the country and probably across the world right now that I think will have massive negative consequences 6, 12, 18 months from now is this paralysis of indecision. I think because, you know, the market has been hit with a variety of different crises, the security mechanisms have come into people's psyche, and they're afraid to do anything, for they might make a mistake. And so that indecision, I think, will have massive consequences. It's now where real leaders are going to step out, maybe do something that everybody else thinks is not the right thing to do, but have the vision and the foresight to take some of those bold steps. And really, in a market where they can gain incredible advantage and make strides forward past their competition today more than they even could a year or two ago. But it's going to take acting boldly and investing in growth and going for it. And if they do, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now, I think they're going to find themselves to be the great beneficiaries of our current economic situation. I think a lot of companies' destinies are being decided over these next, you know, 6, 12 months, and that will determine what their companies end up looking like 10, 20 years from now, because it's the decisions of today that will really matter, because the variables have been changed so much.
And Darren, if someone was written about in the magazine a year ago, let's say, and I'm not picking any names or anyone in particular, but if they're written about a year ago and at the time they were achieving that success and now they're not, does that mean that they were lousy managers or they're better, or just, you know, people just get swept up by what's happening around them sometimes?
Yeah, and you got to remember that Success is really a small entrepreneur-focused magazine. So, you know, that's where we're putting a lot of our what we call our success stories or our profiles in greatness. And any of those that appear on the cover of Success, these are people that have become a brand of success. I mean, there's no question that they, you know, these are the Trumps and the Richard Bransons and the, you know, Oprah Winfreys of the world, that any market, any economy, they're still going to be an example of extraordinary success and achievement. The other thing, our publication is not about current news views or the latest press musings. These our magazine focuses on who these achievers are, how they've gone about creating these great achievements, and it's not really tied to necessarily a current award or victory, or achievement. It's really about their legacy as an achiever and their particular personal strategies of being successful. Whether that is how they motivate and inspire people, how they set their goals, how they balance work and family, how they keep themselves motivated, how they are a great chairman as well as a great father or mother. So it's what I call evergreen content. I mean, you could pick up a copy of Success Magazine from 40 years ago and read a current copy that's on the newsstand and both sets of content are going to be equally relevant to your life right now today.
Right. I mean, it's, I know you don't know this, but I make my living writing for business publications, but also writing business books with CEOs, and it seems like the thing that always distinguishes them, and it's true today, 5 years ago, 10, 20 years ago, is the way that they look at things. It's that they have an innovative view, or they see a problem and they find a way to fix it or fill a gap or satisfy
right.
a need. That's the same today as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And those are the people who kind of get our attention.
Even more so, because now is a marketplace where that innovative thinking, that mindset of fortitude is going to be more important than it was when everything's going great. I mean, I always say that, you know, a great economy can cover up a lot of mistakes. I mean, it can cover up poor customer service. It can cover up bad corporate culture. It can cover up even bad leadership decisions. It's kind of like an old building that has ivy growing up on it. As soon as you take down the ivy, you see all the cracks in the building, or when the tide is in, you know, you don't really see what's underneath the water, but when the tide comes out and you see what was actually under there, you might not have jumped in if you'd known what was underneath that water, right? So this market and economy is pulling that tide back, and it's really exposing what problems exist inside of companies, or what problems exist in the character or the mindset or the philosophy of leadership. And so those that you talked about 20 years ago that had this great mindset and had this great character and installed systems that really served the customer and served the business, those companies will excel in this environment where they might have just been trying to fight to keep up with the marketplace when times are good. So now is a time of celebration for true achievers.
Well, I want to give out our phone number if there's folks who'd like to call in and ask a question of Darren Hardy, the publisher of Success Magazine. Give us a holler at 646-595-3135. We've got a caller who's been waiting to talk to you. I believe he's in Pittsburgh. Hi, go ahead with your comment or question for Darren.
Hi, Mr. Media, and hi, Darren. How are you today?
Hi, good, thank you.
Good. Well, you took the wind out of my sails on that last question. I was going to ask you a question about the character of the person that you picked for the success of the week, but you kind of answered it with saying, you know, you do look into his family and how he treats his family and everything. But the process itself, I mean, okay, here's a new month coming up, and Success Magazine starting out to see who's going to be on the cover this month. What is the exact process? Like, how many people are involved, and how exactly do you do it?
Well, we have an ongoing long list of people that we have discussed, debated, vetted, researched, done due diligence on, and then it becomes a process of timing schedules. There are the theme of the issue that we're working on, and so forth. But the overall criteria is somebody that exemplifies what we define as success, and that's probably a place to start in a further answer to your first question, and that is, you know, success, that was one of the first things we decided that we needed to debate heavily before we even started down the road of rebuilding Success Magazine, is what is the definition of success, and our answer ended up becoming it is success in not only business and not only in wealth, in making money, but it's also success in relationships, it's success in health and well-being, and then the fifth tenet of success is giving back. Are you doing something that is contributing, that is making a difference? You know, have you gone from success to significance, where you're now spending part of your time, energy, and resources to give back and make a difference? So those are the five areas, you know, business, wealth, relationships, health and well-being, and giving back. So now we take every profile person and we vet them through those five criteria, because there's a lot of people out there that make a lot of money, but they might be a bastard at home, right?
Right.
Or they're doing something that is really, you know, self-indulgent, but they're not really doing anything to give back, or they're incredibly out of shape or not an example of health and wellness, but they, you know, might be a good business person. So we really look for a balance of all five of those areas. And when it comes to the cover, we really do want to have that person that is pretty much an unquestionable success story and somebody that people will recognize on the newsstand, you know, with their face. So they really have become a household face and name. That's our cover. But the inside features and profiles have to fit that five-point criteria. And you'd be surprised about how few people fit that criteria. I mean, and we don't want somebody that is just a movie star. We want somebody that has achieved also in business outside of just being an actor or an actress or a director or a producer or executive producer. We want somebody that has business success, has managed that into some wealth building and developing, that they've held on to it, and then has great relationships, has health and vitality, and is doing something to make a difference. And that's really where what the vetting process sort of feels like.
Okay, well, thank you for answering my question.
You bet.
And Bob, talk to you later. Very good show.
All right,
Bob.
Thanks. You're great welcome. Question. Thanks
thank
for calling
you,
in as always.
Okay, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So tell us a little about the latest issue. This is I got a kick out of this. So on the cover is Richard Branson. So folks who haven't seen this, it's Richard Branson is on the cover, and you can't really get any bigger as an successful entrepreneur than Branson, who is Virgin Air and Virgin this and Virgin Records, and man has a thing for virgins. We can talk about that another time. But but then, you know, down the side, you also have features in here on Roger Staubach, Annika Sarenstam, and an excerpt from Donald Trump's new book. I mean, these are just the names that everybody would recognize. You know, how do you decide to go with Branson on the cover versus, promoting the excerpt from Donald Trump? You know, is it how do you make that decision?
This issue's theme was focused on entrepreneurialism.
Mm-hmm.
And last issue was, or actually it's the next one, I forget, because I'm actually working two issues down the line. This one comes out, and I've nearly forgotten about it. But the next issue is Overcoming Obstacles. The next issue is Taking Control of Your Life. The issue before that was Health and Wellness. And so it depends on the theme. So this theme was entrepreneurialism, and we sat down and said, well, who exemplifies the character and traits of an extraordinary entrepreneur more than anybody? And the obvious answer was Richard Branson. So we focused all of our energy and effort on acquiring Richard Branson and as the cover and feature story for this issue. And he really is the embodiment of the extraordinary traits and characteristics of an entrepreneur. I mean, somebody that is very bold, is willing to take great risks, is willing to put himself, his person, at great risk of embarrassment and failure. And he's had some tremendous and phenomenal and, you know, explosive failures where he has, you know, tried things and they have been complete and utter embarrassing failures. And then obviously at the same time, he has had extraordinary success and continues to innovate and improve and reach new heights. And that's probably pun intended, since he's trying to build a spaceship that will take people into space. So, you know, he really is an extraordinary individual, and in how he brings excitement and culture into everything that he builds, and a persona of fun and zeal is part of everything that he does, and his ability to manage all of these different enterprises and the structure he uses to do that, and how he keeps himself creative and where he keeps, you know, fostering his ideas. I mean, all those are incredible lessons for entrepreneurialism. I don't care whether you're still sitting in your spare bedroom or in your garage, you know, with a startup, or you know, you're just starting a home-based business. There are insights and strategies and tips and philosophies and attitudes and ways of managing and inspiring yourself that you can draw from the story of Richard Branson and that we've covered in Success.
Mm-hmm. What has changed about the magazine, like over the last 5 years? And then has the magazine changed in either approach or philosophy or anything else in the last 6 to 12 months?
Well, first off, success as a brand is 113 years old. It was started by Orson Swett Marden, who was sort of deemed the grandfather of the personal development movement with the launch of Success Magazine in 1896. And since then, it's sort of been the centerpiece to the whole personal development dialogue. You might know that Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, was once the editor of Success Magazine, you know, had my job. W. Clement Stone, also a legendary name in the area of personal development, used to own the publication. Og Mandino was also a former editor to the publication. So it's gone to this really storied history. And three publishers before us had really kind of taken it off its course and as a result lost its audience, and it was the great irony. Success had failed three times in a row, in fact. Yeah. And we bought the publication in July of 2007 and spent $5 or $6 million rebuilding the publication. And our goal was to do a couple things. Number one is return it back to its roots as the preeminent personal achievement-focused publication. And two, restore it back to its deserved quality, quality of depth of editorial, quality of design, and image and position within the marketplace. And, you know, we think we've done that. We put it back on newsstand in March of 2008. And I'm proud to say that a success, the first month issue was the largest first issue magazine release in the history of publishing. I mean, bigger than Oprah's O magazine or Martha Stewart's magazine or Rachel Ray or Condé Nast by selling 1 million copies of the first issue. So the audience that believes in success and believes in higher levels of achievement and is looking for the edge in the marketplace and the edge in life have certainly come back to Success Magazine. So the magazine of the last prior three publishers has changed a lot. From 50 years ago, it probably hasn't changed much at all besides bringing the contemporary extraordinary achievers and featuring them and within inside the publication. But, you know, where you can find real, tangible, relevant, actionable takeaway ideas, tips, and strategies that you can apply into your own personal entrepreneurial life or own personal life, you can find that inside the pages of Success Magazine as much or more so than you would have, you know, 50 years ago. Over the last 6 to 12 months, I can't say that there has been any change of positioning or philosophy around the magazine. We just subscribe to our own teachings and trainings, and that is to just constantly try to improve and raise the game and innovate ourselves into, you know, how we can provide more value, how we can get our readers engaged with this, how we can deliver other resources and tips to support the entrepreneur out there. So, you know, the positioning and the function and purpose of the publication hasn't changed the last 6 to 12 months, but I think that we every month are challenging ourselves to make the next issue better than the issue prior. And with the one on newsstand right now with Richard Branson, I would say that, you know, we have done it once again.
It's interesting that you explain that, because it really has. It's a very different magazine than it was several years ago. I remember reaching a point with it several years ago where it's just like, forget about it. you know, it's not worth picking up. But let me ask you this. Considering the nature of the market for dead trees publications, as people like to call them, if you were faced with the opportunity to bring success back from the dead today, would you do it in print or would you do it strictly online?
No, I think the idea that we're going to be a digital only society is still, you know, way down the line, if at all. I think that there will be a massive shift. The percentage will shift on the side of digital quite considerably, especially for things that are more instant news and information based. You know, newspapers and Newsweeks and Business Week, where it is about current events, news, and updates. Those, I think, will definitely go the way of digital. But when it comes to success, which is in our print publication, long form, more narrative, more deeper story based, and the fact that it's evergreen content. You can take a copy of Success Magazine. It's not something you're going to read through like Business Week and then throw away. You're going to hold on to it because it's going to become a continual resource for you that you might go back to in 6 months and go, I remember the idea with inside that article. I'm going to go back and review that. So it becomes as much of your library as a book that has had an impact on your life, and the fact that you'll carry that around with you for some time. And, there's also just the tactile experience of sitting on a plane or out by the pool or at the beach or, in your backyard and going through a magazine with its, physical, tactile, big picture, long story form experience that you're just not going to get on a computer or a Kindle or what have you. So I think that because of its kind of content, evergreen as well as not news views and current events, and its longevity as being relevant content, I think that I most certainly would bring Success Today back to the marketplace in print, and I'd probably make that decision for several years down the road. Now, what life will bring and how societies and technologies will evolve 3 years out, still remains to be seen. But I think Success is one of those unique publications that I think can live on in print for a very long time.
Of course, if you're on a plane or you're out at the beach or by the pool reading, no one can see that you're reading Success if you're reading it on a Kindle. But if you're holding it in your lap, you've got it kind of angled so that the cover is up, everyone knows what you're reading.
That's an interesting point as well. I mean, yes, Success has become kind of one of those status symbols, right? You have your nice watch, your nice car, your nice suit or tie, and Success Magazine itself is another one of those things you stick on the corner of your desk that your employees as well as your vendors, suppliers, and potential clients and customers see, that this is that kind of thing that you're about and that you represent. So interesting point about Success being part of the status symbol.
Now, when the Kindle gets a little smaller and a little thinner, and they start putting on the, you've got the side that's facing you that you're reading, but on the back side they can flash the cover of whatever you're reading so you can show it off, then maybe that'll be a different issue. I don't know. I know when I was in college, it was just as important to me what I was reading as letting people know what I was reading. If I was reading Studs Terkel's Working, I wanted people to know that. Or if I was reading, The Rape of the Ape, I wanted them to know that too.
Right.
So you don't see a limited future for the print edition of the magazine?
No, I don't really. I don't. Not for Success. I mean, I think there's like what happens a lot with technology. The speculation is far greater than what becomes the ultimate reality. The technology-oriented people expect that the rest of the world operates as they do, and the rest of the world operates much differently than those that are early adopters and technology-oriented. I mean, if you think about some of your own relatives and what they're doing from a technology standpoint. I mean, I know I still have to coach my father on email. So when it comes to operating in a digital-only world, I mean, one of the things we put inside of Success Magazine is a CD and DVD that goes in each issue. And it's been said many times, well, why would you bother with that? You could just put it up online for download. And I said, we do. People don't. It's just, the percentage of people that still operate in physical media is tremendous, which is the reason why Blockbuster still exists. Will that change? Yes, it will start to erode and evolve, but that isn't happening this year, next year, or the year after.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to say that by talking to you about the print edition, I don't want to suggest that you're any kind of Luddite. You do have the, and I wanted you to tell people a little bit about the dual disc, the DVD-CD that's inside every print edition. I mean, you're kind of walking the line there by saying, okay, we're still doing a print edition, but hey, look at this.
Right. I mean, it's one of my favorite features of Success, and something that's never been done before, still isn't done on newsstands on a regular basis, where we put in a CD and DVD bound into every issue of Success magazine. So this is where I sit down personally with a lot of these cover profiles and personalities and interview them and really dig deep to find out, okay, all right, I get that that's the Success, but how did you do it? You know, what did you do when? You know, what was the strategy you invoked here at this point? How did you overcome this and that? And what are those daily disciplines or behaviors or philosophies or tactics they use to create those successes? And so we package that on with some Success training, where we take the great thought leaders of our time, whether it's Brian Tracy or Les Brown or Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar, take some of their great work that would cost you, you know, $50 to go and buy it. We include some of those excerpts on the CD and then also on the DVD side of that dual disc. So having created personal development products for 15 years, the amount of content and the quality of content that we put into every single issue of Success magazine, you know, I would have been able to sell for $49 in the marketplace easily, because there's just that much value and great quality content there. And, you know, we sell it on the newsstand for $5.95 in subscription form. It's a, you know, it's a couple of dollars. It's really insane. So to your point, the print model of delivery of Success magazine is a terrible and expensive model to deliver upon. You know, it's all typically made up in advertising, which is a decimated marketplace. So the great thing is that just from subscription alone, we're close to a break even on the publication, but we wouldn't be going through all this heartburn and headache if we thought that just delivering in digital form would be as successful. We just know that that's not where the marketplace is, and especially in garnering a loyal following to, you know, what the Success publication has to offer, that we do need to continue the tradition of print delivery as, you know, in this space and time for sure.
And Darren, we're going to wind up in just a couple minutes, but in terms of you doing interviews with some of these folks that are featured in the magazine, do you have a favorite story, maybe someone or example someone has given you or told you that made a real impact on you personally, that maybe changed the way you thought about things?
Well, my last few interviews had me out yesterday buying a juicer. So that's my most recent impact. I did the interview with Dr. Kenneth Cooper, Jack LaLanne, as well as Montel Williams, and they all stress the importance of eating live whole foods, and I think the idea of a juicer came up with both Cooper as well as Montel Williams. And Montel Williams is an extraordinary story. He was you know, suffers and has multiple sclerosis and has gone through incredible bouts with his health and nutrition, and, you know, really made some incredible discoveries as a result of that. And so just the reinforcement of how little real live whole foods the average American diet really gets in, you know, in the normal course of what and how we go about eating. So that's one. But, you know, another is Dr. Oz. I really enjoy my interview with him, and I really like him as a human being. I mean, here's a guy that has all the reasons to be a massive and incredible egomaniac, because he is a heart surgeon, does 250 open heart surgeries a year. He's essentially, to these people at that state, playing God to them. At least that's the mindset that a lot of these surgeons can end up developing. And now he goes from, you know, while he's doing that, and he's on Oprah, you know, once a week. The greatest stage of media there is, probably more powerful and influential than being president, is being on Oprah. Well, you know, from there, he also has written several best-selling books, is a well-known national celebrity. He's going to have his own TV show. He just took over the studio. Who's the guy that's now the late show host? What's the guy, the red-haired?
Jimmy Fallon?
No.
Conan.
So, yeah, he took over Conan's old studio. So, I mean, he writes for several publications. So he is that could go to your head. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
When you meet him, he is the nicest, most cooperative and considerate and giving and generous person you could ever meet. And so the more I meet and get to interview some of these extraordinary people within our society, the higher level they are in terms of success, it seems that the nicer and more down to earth they really are. It's the people in the middle, right, that haven't got there, but they're trying to prove to you that they have, and so that they have these incredible egos as a result of trying to project that image. But when you really achieve it, these people are just genuine and down to earth. But one of the things he said that stuck with me, we were talking about time management, and he said it's not about time management, it's about energy management. He said just decide what things in your day give you energy or what take it away. And what you want to do is figure out ways of anything that you have to do to accomplish your goals and objectives that take energy away from you, to stop doing those things and figure out how to get them done otherwise, whether that's delegation, whether it's just stop doing it, whether it's adjusting your business model, your business strategy. And if you can, and here's a guy who's incredibly busy, and that was my question, how do you possibly get this all done all day, day after day after day? And he says he's focused on the things that gives him energy. At the end of his day, he's more energized than when he started it, because nothing throughout his day took energy away from him. It only elevated his level of energy. And I thought that was a profound shift in thinking in terms of trying to manage your time and get more done in. And at the end of the day, you drive yourself to bed exhausted. Look for the things, look to manage your energy, not your time. And whatever it is that you're really great at, whatever it is that you really love, the things you really should be doing are also the things that will give you energy. So that was an interesting paradigm shift that I've applied. And it's like, you know, wow, you really can get more done, higher value things, and go through your day completely energized and passionate about what it is that you're doing, if you're looking to manage things that give you energy and manage away from things that take it away.
I think that's the same kind of advice that people who go through a traumatic illness and come out the other side realize as well. You know, maybe heart disease or cancer or something like that, and they go, you know, the things that were aggravating me and that I was wasting a lot of time on before, they don't seem as important now, and I want to avoid those going forward because, you know, you only have so much time, and I think that applies in business as well.
Yeah, so let's not wait for you to get stricken with a major disease or a car wreck or heartbreak in order to come to that realization. I mean, because life will have a tendency to do that. It'll teach you lessons, and if you don't get the lesson the first time, the next time it's going to get harder and more severe and harder and more severe until you finally go, okay, I got it. Stop. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, great. Folks, let me tell you, you can find Success Magazine at great newsstands everywhere. Even some of the not-so-great ones will carry it. But you can also order it online at MR Media, that's MrMedia.com, or Amazon.com. And don't forget to visit the magazine's website, www.success.com. And for those of you who may not be successes yet, it may be because you can't spell success, SUCCESS.com. Darren Hardy, publisher of Success, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was a very interesting conversation.
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And folks, for more great interviews with editors of America's best magazines, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the editors of Cooking Light, Smithsonian, Playboy, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Pointer Online, MySpace, Facebook, NetVibes, Multiply, Zanga, Digital Journal, Friendster, Orkut, Bebo, Tagged, iGoogle, Yahoo, Podcast Pickle, Vox, Folio, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media in iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews within the podcast section of iTunes and click the free subscribe button. It's that easy. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a piece of your day to spend it with us. Thanks for listening.